Okay, how's everybody doing today? Silence is golden, right? So, okay. I think I was trying to figure out what that last announcement was, and I got convicted. In other words, to put it in plain words, it means come to church on time, right? Is that what it is? Okay, so our conference sessions will start on time. In fact, Pastor Shibeli is here half an hour early. You know, so if we start on time, we can also end on time. Okay, for a brief introduction this morning. Isn't it good to be in the church with our human spirits quickened, happy, joyful, a smile on our face, right, Santosh? Okay, just two passages, and that is number one. Let's turn to Genesis 47. Genesis 47, verse 29 onwards we'll read. And the time drew near that Israel must die. And he called his son Joseph and said unto him, if now I have found grace in your sight, put, I pray thee, your hand under my thigh and deal kindly and truly with me. Bury me not, I pray thee, in Egypt. But I will lie with my fathers, and you shall carry me out of Egypt, and bury me in their burying place. And he said, I will do as you have said. Okay? This is concerning Jacob. Then we have in Genesis chapter 50, Joseph also says something very similar. Genesis 50 verse 25. And Joseph took an oath of the children of Israel, saying, God will surely visit you, and you shall carry up my bones from here. Okay, and then we see in Exodus 13 and verse 19, Moses carried the bones of Joseph out of Egypt and was buried in their inheritance, right? So let's pray. Father, we pray you would bless this portion to our hearts. In Jesus' name, amen. Jacob did not want, he didn't want to be buried in Egypt. Jacob. Why was it? Egypt was a good place for them, right? But he said, don't bury me here. Take me to my land and bury. Why was it? I don't know, but probably it was, Rachel was buried there, in the land of Canaan. So maybe family grave? I don't know. Abraham was buried there. Sarah was buried there. Isaac died there. Rebecca died there. And now on the way, Rachel also died. And near Bethlehem, she was buried. So, no, I don't think that would have been the reason, in as much as that was okay. That was absolutely fine. We have family graves now, right? Something else mattered to Jacob. And that was the reason he specifically made that statement that I want to be buried in my land. And that was because of the covenant that God made with Jacob's fathers. There was a covenant that God had made with Abraham and Isaac. And in fact, this covenant was also renewed to Jacob. So as a result of that, something governed Jacob on the inside. And that was the covenant that was surely going to come to pass. Is that amazing? In fact, Jacob was in Egypt for 17 long years. As an old man, he comes to Egypt and he lives there 17 years. In fact, long enough to see his descendants become prosperous with a lot of materialism, and long enough to see his descendants settle down in the land of Goshen. And so what was the problem? You know, like a great-great-grandfather looks at the great-great-grandchildren and then sees them well settled, and they say, what would he tell them? Don't go away from here and let me close my eyes in peace. But he kind of doesn't say that. He seemed to be a little bit not happy about being buried in Egypt. In fact, there were no mixed marriages either with the Egyptians. So naturally speaking, there was no reason for Jacob to go back, naturally speaking. But he knew that the land of Goshen in Egypt was not going to be his resting place, nor their resting place. Because Jacob was governed by something very special on the inside. He was governed by what God had told him. And that was the covenant that God made with his fathers, and the same covenant also renewed to Jacob. Amazing, right? Then we come to Joseph. Joseph also didn't want to be buried in Egypt. In fact, Joseph in the land of Egypt prospered a lot. He stayed there for many years, more than his dad Jacob. Done things well, he prospered well. And he also says, put me in a coffin, but when you leave, God is surely going to visit you. When you leave, please take my bones with you and bury me in your land. And that is a type of Joseph wanting to be identified with God's people in their destiny and not with the Egyptians. So here, based on two accounts, Jacob is governed by, it's a type of Jacob, a believer being governed by what God said, the covenant that God has made, the new covenant, isn't it? The person of God really mattered to Jacob, and therefore Jacob said, I don't want to be buried in Egypt. The people of God matter to Joseph. And Joseph said, I don't want to be buried in Egypt. Now look at these two things. We have the person of God and we have the people of God. We have the covenant God has made with us. We are drawn to believe what God said, his word, his nature, his character, the covenant that is made in the blood of Christ. We believe in his love, we believe in his mercy, we believe in his grace. And we are like Jacob, and we say, I don't want to be connected with Egypt. Then we look at the mystery revealed in the New Testament, the body of Christ. And we are like Joseph. We say, yeah, I'm maybe like one born out of due time and I look like a misfit, but it's okay because God has already baptized me into the body of Christ. I want to be connected with the family of God. I want to be connected with the body of Christ. I want to be connected with the people of God and not with the Egyptians. So we have in typology both Jacob and Joseph, and they express their desire not to be buried in Egypt but in the land. But if we look at their history, we see that the plan of God had unique surprises for them. The plan of God brought both Jacob and Joseph into the land of Egypt. So if Egypt was not the place where they want to be identified with, because it didn't have anything to do with covenant and it didn't have anything to do with God's people, then how come the plan of God orchestrated their way into Egypt? Isn't it? For Joseph, for Jacob, it was in Genesis 45. He says in verse 28, when he came to know that Joseph was alive, Israel said, "It is enough. Joseph, my son, is yet alive, and I will go and see him before I die." What an excitement to an old dad, isn't it? Oh, my son of my old age, or Joseph, in this case Joseph, he's alive, and I'm going to stay alive. I'm not going to die. I'm going to see him. And then I think on the way, he just wanted to be doubly sure if it was the plan of God that he should go to Egypt. Because Egypt was not the land of inheritance promised to Jacob. So he does sacrifices on the way in Beersheba in chapter 46, verse 1. And it says he offered sacrifices unto the God of his father Isaac. So is it really God's will that I should leave the land of promise and go to Egypt? Okay? And God appears to him in verse 2 and 3 of chapter 46. And he says, "I am God, the God of your father. Do not fear to go down into Egypt, for I will make of you a great nation. Go." What is it? Go. Go to Egypt. That's the plan of God. An unusual surprise or a shock in one sense. Now for Joseph, it was in Genesis 45 verse 5. He tells his folks, "Now therefore, do not be grieved nor angry with yourselves." He tells his brothers that you sold me here, because God did send me here before you for what? To preserve life. The plan of God for Joseph turned out to be such that he would also end up in Egypt, though Egypt was not the land where his inheritance was going to be. Look at verse 7. "And God sent me before you to preserve you a posterity in the earth and to save your lives by a great deliverance. So now it was not you that sent me here, but God. And he has made me a father to Pharaoh and lord of all his house and a ruler throughout all the land of Egypt." Now, whatever has been the reasons for this, that they both end up in Egypt, as far as the plan of God goes, it shouldn't be a preoccupation for us in application. Because, I'll just repeat this again. Whatever has been the reasons why Joseph ended up in Egypt, Joseph ends up in Egypt, and then Jacob ends up in Egypt. In one sense, beyond a certain point, it shouldn't really be a matter of overthinking for us. It shouldn't be a matter of preoccupation for us, because our faith is not based on the plan of God, but rather we choose to function by faith in the plan of God. I'll repeat that again. Our faith is not to be based on the plan of God, whatever that plan may be, and however that may unfold before our eyes, and wherever we find ourselves in a particular setting. Our faith cannot be based on the plan of God, but rather we choose to function by faith in the plan of God for our lives. You know, imagine Joseph could have thought, what was the reason? Someone else's fault and I'm struggling here in Egypt, right? He could have got into finding fault with his brothers and have chosen a life of self-pity. Oh, this poor me. Look at what I'm going through. Potiphar's house, prison. What is all? He could have chosen that and actually got a little bit controversial with the very plan of God and saying, "I don't think, God, are you really fair? Because if you put me through these processes in life, if you put me through Egypt and the sufferings in Egypt, can I really trust you as my God?" But Joseph did not even for a moment in that sense, bases faith on the plan of God. In fact, rather, it goes on to say in the previous chapters, he went about doing his daily duties, whether he was in Potiphar's house or whether he was in the prison house. He went about, meaning he functioned by faith in the plan of God. Isn't it amazing? Jacob would have, on the other hand, thought, okay, now I have to go to Egypt. No, God is dealing with me because I stole the birthright. God is getting even with me. Finally, he's got me. Or he could have said, I stole the blessings from my dad, my brother's blessing, I took it away. So finally, God has got me. Oh, I even outsmarted my uncle Laban, Mr. Laban, and finally, God has caught up with me. And it could be possible that we can blame ourselves. Whatever could be the reason, we could blame ourselves for the setting we find ourselves in. You know, and this is the point. We do not have to let guilt or self-pity or anything related to those things begin to interpret or rationalize the plan of God for our lives. Think about that. This is where we begin to understand the God of all grace. 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 10. Whatever could have been the reason, my brothers did evil to me, and that is the reason why I am in Egypt. So henceforth, I cannot really trust God. But Joseph said, okay, sorry, my faith cannot be based on the plan of God. My faith is based on the person of God. My faith is based on the covenant that God has made with my fathers. My faith is based on what God has spoken. My faith is based on the new covenant. That is really the foundation for our lives. And therefore, in my faith, I also choose to identify with the people of God in the plan. And not so much get yoked up with the Egyptians, but with the people of God, because according to 1 John chapter 1, verse 7, we share something common between each other because of our Heavenly Father. Is that amazing? So maybe God may reveal the reason for the plan of God that we find ourselves in, or maybe he may not. But even if God reveals the reason, sometimes in some cases we have discernment, still we do not have to look at the plan to decide if God is for us or not. But rather, we look at the person of God. We look at his nature and character. We look at the new covenant that is made in the blood of Christ and be rightly aligned to his person. And then we also rightly align ourselves to the family of God or to the people of God so that we can function by faith in the plan rather than making our faith to be based on the plan. No matter what that plan is, maybe in some cases it could be fantastic, in other cases it could be a little bit of struggles, in third case it could be a lot of undeserved suffering or maybe deserved suffering. It really doesn't matter. Regardless of what it is, we do not have to look at the plan to decide if God is for us or not. But we can look at the very person of God, and we can also choose to identify with the people of God so that we can function by faith in the plan or setting that we find ourselves in. And trust God to lead us and to direct our steps. Isn't that phenomenal? It is phenomenal. And you know, this is the closing statement that I would make. God must and he will honor the decisions of faith that we make in relationship to the person of God and the people of God. He will. Oh yeah, this plan of God turned out to be like this because my brothers need to be blamed. Oh, this plan of God turned out to be this few years and weary years because I was not really listening to God. I was like trying to, I stole my brother's birthright. It really doesn't matter. Who is God to me henceforth? Who is God to me now? Yes, the plan of God may unfold itself in very unique ways, and we will find ourselves in circumstances where naturally we may not like to be. But it is still okay because our faith cannot be dependent on the plan of God. Our faith is dependent or based on the person of God, and we have our association with the people of God regardless of the plan we find ourselves in. But in the long run, the good news is this: they both ended up in the land of Canaan. God must, and He will. No matter where we are at, what the situations have been, God must and He will honor the decisions of faith that we make in relationship to the person of God and in relationship to the body of Christ. He will, because that is His nature. Isn't that amazing? So thank God for the plan of God. Plan of God involves a process through which we get to know Him. But what do we base our faith on? I am not to be buried in Egypt. Those 17 years have prospered well in Egypt. Though many years I have, and even I got promoted in Egypt, though the plan of God did, was it original, God's original intention that Joseph should end up in Egypt? Original intention? Probably not. But we don't have to too much overthink on those things. If our faith is based on the covenant, the person of God, who He is and what He has done, and our association or our identification we find ourselves with, the people of God, the body of Christ, that is enough. The plan of God, though it may contain situations like how Joseph found himself in and Jacob found himself in, will eventually lead us to a place where God will honor the decisions of faith that we make in relationship to who He is and in relationship to the family of God, which is the body of Christ. And that is the way we keep on going. And that is why life is always something that we can anticipate, because of the person of God and the people of God that God has given us. Amen? Let's pray. Father, we pray that You would bless these thoughts to our hearts. Thank You for the plan of God. God told Ananias what great things Paul must suffer for His name's sake. But Apostle Paul's faith could not be based on what he would go through in his endeavor as a missionary, but it had to be based on the covenant, the new covenant. That was a foundation for his life. And he also understood the mystery of the body of Christ. And being found rightly related to both, he found how beautifully the plan of God carried him through to fulfill God's purpose for his life. And Father, we just pray that we would look at the plan and we would rejoice in the fact that You are at work. Your perfect will. And however that plan may unfold, thank You that we don't have to look at circumstances to figure out if You are the God of all grace toward us, but we can look to Your person. We can look to Your work, and we can even find edification and rest with the people of God, so that we experience a blessing that is related to our maturity. We praise You and thank You. And bless these thoughts to our hearts. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen. Amen.
Good morning, everybody. Wasn't that a great intro this morning? Joseph told, Jacob told where he wants to be buried. Joseph told where he wants to be buried. And I also want to say where I want to be buried. I don't want to be buried in Hosur Road, gate number 1 or gate number 2, but in Vasco Cemetery, Vasco in Goa, right? It's a beautiful cemetery. It's a cliff. You have to plan a day ahead because you'll have to break the rock. It's a cliff overlooking the sea. So you don't have to be sad. It'll be a happy moment. It's a beautiful, right? So I want to be buried in Goa, if it's possible. Okay, Psalm 144. Okay, let's stand today. Just a couple of verses today. Yeah. Yeah, as we prepare for the conference. Yeah. Psalm 144. Verse 15. Happy are the people who are in such a state. Happy are the people whose God is the Lord. Right? Romans chapter 4 and verse 8. Blessed is the man to whom the Lord shall not impute sin. James chapter 1, verse 25. But he who looks into the perfect law of liberty and continues in it, and is not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this one will be blessed in what he does. Hebrews chapter 6. In verse 12. That you do not become sluggish, but imitate those who through faith and patience inherit the promises. The last verse for today, Genesis 12 and verse 2. Genesis 12 and verse 2. I will make you a great nation. I will bless you and make your name great, and you shall be a blessing. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this morning. Speak to our hearts today. Minister to us, we pray. In Jesus' name. Amen. Before we sit, can we just walk out of our chairs and greet somebody? Yeah. And, you know, just edify somebody, encourage somebody. People have been sick, people with coughs and colds. Yeah. Yeah, just say a warm hello to people, right? Yeah. Okay, you may be seated now. Thank you for your cooperation. Yeah. Thank you. Yeah, it's good to see you smile. Everybody was a little frozen today. It's okay, yeah. You know, we can be free in the body of Christ. Can we be free? Yes. And I also can be free in the pulpit. Can I? Yes. Okay. So today I want to speak on blessedness, this subject. I've been thinking about it for a while. Like, what is blessedness? What does it mean to us as Christians? Blessedness. And I was thinking about this, and that Psalm 144 verse 15 is a beautiful verse where David says in the King James, happy are the people whose God is the Lord. And that's a beautiful verse. And the NASB says, how blessed are the people who are so situated, how blessed are the people whose God is the Lord. And why was he saying this? And in our first point, we see there is blessedness through relationship. What is it? Blessedness through relationship. David, it's a Psalm of David in Psalm 144. He is looking back at his life, and he meditates on God, and he starts the Psalm saying, Lord, you've taught me how to fight a war. You've trained my fingers for battle. You have preserved me from all evil. You have blessed me, you know, you have blessed our children, you have given us food in the land, and so on and so forth. And then he says that, happy are the people who are in such a state, happy are the people whose God is the Lord. There was a blessedness relationship. And as Pastor Benny beautifully said, the nation of Israel was in a covenant relationship with God, where God made a covenant with Abraham and his descendants. And because of that covenant relationship that God made with Abraham and his descendants, David became a beneficiary of that covenant. He became a beneficiary. And because he became a beneficiary, he understood that all that was happening in his life was because they were in this relationship with God as a nation, in a covenant relationship. That all the preservation from evil, all the victories he had won, was because of God's love in his life, God's loving kindness over his life. And all the blessings they were receiving as a nation was because God was in a covenant relationship with them. Blessedness through relationship. And that is so beautiful today, that as we come here to the church, and as we are here as New Testament believers, what does that mean to us? In the same way, Jesus also said something beautiful. He said in Matthew 26, verse 28, "For this is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for many for the remission of sins." The King James says New Testament, and NASB says covenant. And what does that mean, this word in the Greek? What does it mean? This is going to make you very happy today, right? It means a will. The Greek word is diatheke, D-I-A-T-H-E-K-E. It means a will, a person who writes a will. And the will comes into execution when the person dies. So this morning, if your father has not written you a will, that's okay. It's okay, because Jesus wrote a will. Right? God had a plan. And that plan was that he would make a will. And that will would come into operation after he would die. And what did he do? He submitted to the Father's plan. He obeyed the Father's will. And he died on the cross. And when he was on the cross, he said, "It is finished." And his blood was shed for us, and he was buried, and he rose again. And now the will is in action. And what is that legal will? "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." And that uniquely has come to us. And today we are recipients of that will. We are recipients of the New Testament which Jesus started 2,000 years ago. And we have what? Received that. And what does that give us? This is what it gives us. It gives us eternal life. It gives us a personal relationship with the living God. It gives us the complete forgiveness of sins. Right? And you and I are beneficiaries of that will. And you and I, through one act of faith, when we heard the gospel in the Lord Jesus in our heart, we were saved forever. Our names were written in the Lamb's Book of Life forever, right? And that can never change. Pastor Shala said that can never be reversed, that blessing, right? We are recipients of the New Testament age of grace. And today, we are blessed through what? Through relationship. Isn't that incredible? I think this is incredible. Incredible, right? I've said this before. This was Pastor Brian's quote. What all religions have for its fulfillment, which is all religions are hoping and believing in some way they will make it to heaven, Christianity has for its beginning point. Right? When the gospel comes to you and you accept Jesus as your Savior, you are given heaven at that point in time. You become born again. You are given eternal life. You are forgiven all your sins, past, present, and future, at that point. And what are we? Blessed through relationship, right? And we can say in application, happy are the people. How blessed are the people Or how fully satisfied are the people whose God is the Lord? And that's who? That's you and me. Are you excited this morning? Yes or no? Yes. Okay, let's go to point number two. It doesn't stop there. The blessing of God doesn't stop there. So today I'm going to sound like a prosperity preacher. Yeah? The blessing of God doesn't stop there. Right? The second thing which comes to us is blessedness through position. This is extremely important for us to understand. Blessedness through position. In Romans 4:8, Paul is using the example of two people. He is using the example of Abraham, and he is using the example of David, and he is using the illustration to show that even in the Old Testament, it was righteousness was not earned by somebody through works. It was given as a gift. It was imputed, right? So it says in Romans 4, it says in 4 verse 2, if Abraham was justified by works, he has something to boast about, but not before God. But what does the scripture say? Abraham believed God and it was accounted to him for righteousness. That's Genesis 15:6. So Paul is using the analogy that even in the Old Testament, righteousness was imputed by grace. And even in the New Testament, righteousness is imputed by grace. And in Romans 4:8, he quotes David from Psalm 32 by saying, blessed is the man to whom the Lord shall not impute sin. We can also put there slash woman, okay? The women are not excluded. Blessed is the man slash woman whom the Lord shall not impute sin. See, that is our position. Positional truth is something which is revealed in the Bible, which God declares about us, but we don't feel it. It is a declaration which God gives in the Bible. Right? For example, Romans 5:1. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God. This is not something you feel. This God declares in a legal way that you are justified. That means in the courtroom of God, no one can accuse you because Jesus died for your sins and you have been imputed in 2 Corinthians 5:21 with the righteousness of Christ. So this morning, God the Father, how he looks at you is what? Righteousness of Christ. I do not behold any iniquity in Jacob. This is not our experience. This is what? Our position. If any man be in Christ, he is a new creation. All things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. 2 Corinthians 5:17. This is a position. Ephesians 1, he adopted us. This is a position. And then there are many, many positions. So basically, being a Christian is just discovering what the will was. He wrote a will and it's written in the New Testament and I'm discovering what my privileges are. Isn't that incredible? Yeah, every time you come, you are discovering something new. What God says about you, without you doing anything. Jesus did it on the cross and now it is given to you the moment you believe you were blessed with all the spiritual blessings in the heavenly places. Ephesians 1:3. Isn't that great? I think that's incredible. Right? So blessedness through position. Now for this, for us to understand this, we need to read the Word of God. If you don't read the Word of God, you will not know it is there. We need to hear the Word of God. Then we know it is there. And we need to simply what? Believe it. We simply believe it. And what happens? We are what? Blessed through position. So today it is possible, if your experience is really bad, it's okay with God. Why? Because in your position, you have the righteousness of Christ imputed unto you as a gift. And God looks at you as a new creation, and God looks at you as totally righteous. Isn't that incredible? That is incredible. Are you getting excited this morning? Yes, we are getting excited. Next, the third blessedness which comes. So God takes it another notch. Is blessedness through experience. So God doesn't say, okay, I have a relationship with you which is personal. I have forgiven you your sins. I have given you an exalted position. You are seated with me in the heavenly places. But like your earthly experience is like zero. He doesn't want it that way, right? So in James 1, it says here, it talks about this, James 1, verse 21. Therefore, lay aside all filthiness and overflow of wickedness and receive with meekness the implanted word, which is able to save your souls. But be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man observing his natural face in a mirror. He observes himself, goes away, and immediately forgets what kind of man he was. But he who looks into the perfect law of liberty and continues in it, and is not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this one will be blessed in what he does. Now this is what God does. Now God gives us his word, right? And he is asking us to have an attitude of meekness. And he is saying that if the word comes in us and it gets implanted in us, it is able to save our souls. This is not talking about eternal salvation. That is already been done through the gospel once in time. This is talking about it on a daily basis. Right? I have come that you might have life, John 10:10. And you have it what? More abundantly, yes. See, now a unique thing comes into play. Right? In the first two, there is nothing of me involved. Jesus did everything on the cross. The only thing I have to do at a moment in time when the gospel comes to me, I need to accept him as my savior, and I get the first two. What is that? I have a personal relationship with God. I'm going to heaven. And whatever, I have all of positional truth as a gift to me. Just one decision, I get it. For the third one, now God starts speaking to me, and now I have to make decisions regarding what I hear. What is it? I need to make what? Decisions regarding what I hear. Now, many Christians tell me this, oh, the word of God is impractical. You know, we can't do it. Imagine living in India with all the corruption and living as a Christian. It's impossible. Come on. How can you do sales without lying? Correct? People have told me all these things. Right? But the beauty of being a Christian is this, that when God is speaking to us the word, he is not asking us to do it in our own strength. That is the misconception we have. The misconception we have is, God is telling me to do this and he is as if like I should do it in my own strength. No, God is not telling me to do it in my own strength. God is asking me my permission. That's all. God is wanting to see if I say yes to it. And if I say yes to it in my free will, God is willing to give the grace for me to do it. 2 Corinthians 3, for our sufficiency is not of ourselves, but of God who has made us what? Able ministers of the New Testament. Now this is where my choice comes into being. Now the word of God comes, correct? To everybody. But not, you know, and God is appealing to us that when you hear it, don't be a what? Forgetful hearer, but be a doer. How do I become the doer? I'm saying, yes, God, I respect your word. Yes, I believe it is true. Yes, I want to respond to it, Lord. Can you help me? And when I just respond positively, what does God do? God floods me with his grace and floods me with his enablement. And that becomes what? Experience in my life. Isn't that incredible? And at that point in time, you and I, we begin to enjoy what? Abundant life. God says, forgive as I have forgiven you. Is it possible in the natural? Not possible. But in the new man, by the power of the Holy Spirit, when I say, God, I can't do it, can you help me? And God says, okay, you're able to forgive. What happens? You have continued in the word, you have gotten to know the truth, and what has happened? The truth has set you free. Where? Not on the outside. The truth has set you free on the inside. This is such a beautiful thing. This man, if he is a doer of the work, this one will be blessed in what he does. Fully happy, fully satisfied. See, the Christian life is not about favorable circumstances. You know, many times we pray, Lord, change the situation, change. No, not about favorable circumstances. The Christian life is that you and I have a favorable God who is operating in us. And that relationship has nothing to do with circumstances. That relationship has everything to do with how we respond to Him. And when we respond to Him correctly, He floods us in our heart and we are totally happy. I may have a small job, I may have a big job, it doesn't matter to God. I can be totally happy as I do the job. Why? Because I'm responding to the Word of God. That's important. I am responding to the Word of God. You can be a housewife, you can be anybody, you can be in ministry, anybody. If you just consider this, the Word of God is coming and I'm responding. You'll be what? Blessed. Blessedness is not outside. Blessedness is not if my spouse becomes better, if my children start obeying me, if the bigger job comes, bigger salary, all that is fine, all that God can do. But blessedness is on the inside. You know, sometimes the problems we have, we think we have with other people. Sometimes we think we have problems with our situations. But you know who the problem is? We have the problems with our own selves. The problem is me. God is saying, you're looking outside. You're like when God asked Adam, hey, Eve, that woman whom you gave me, right? No. God is saying, hey, problem is not Eve. Problem is you, right? The problem is us today. We think it is our brothers, our family, the church. No, it is not outside. The problem is inside. Because I am not responding to the word of God. Right? So blessedness through experience. What else? It doesn't stop there. Point number four. Blessedness through promises being fulfilled. I think this is an incredible one. Blessedness. I was just thinking, it was my birthday last Sunday, and I was just looking back at my life. You know, when you grow older, you stop looking forward, you start looking back. So, and I was just thinking, in the many, many years, that by the grace of God, I've been a Christian. By the grace of God, I've been able to walk with Him. As to how many promises God has fulfilled, how many prayers. I said it in the Koramangala church. We were in Pastor Brian's home behind Jalvayu Vihar. Then we moved to the shutter place. Then we moved to Varmao. Then we moved here. How many promises, how many prayers, how many babies have been born? How many babies have become adults before our eyes, right? Can we say an amen? Amen? Yeah, single people got married. Married people had one child, some second child, some third child. No problem, right? Blessedness who through faith and patience inherit the promises. The word patience there is makrothumia. And that, what was that word patience? It is towards God. God is making a promise to the Hebrew Christians that I have saved you. I am coming back for you. Go forward, don't go back to Judaism. And the writer is saying, don't go back, don't quit. You go forward, no matter how hard it gets. And then he says, he uses the example of Abraham. God made a promise. And when Abraham had patiently endured, same word, makrothumia. Whom is he enduring? He is being patient toward God. 25 years later, Isaac was born. He received the promise, right? Do you believe that God will, give all, whatever God has promised, He will make it come to pass? Do you believe? Yes, the Bible says so. Sometimes you may not be here, but the promise will come to pass. Right? Many people said in Varmao, when is the church building happening here? Some even came ahead of time and started living here and started getting upset with us because building was not happening. Building happened, they have disappeared. Did the promise happen? Yes, right? So the promise doesn't depend on us. The promise depends on God, right? So blessedness through promises being fulfilled. As you walk with God and as you are patient over a period of time, you will see God will fulfill specific promises in your life. Whether it's education, whether it is getting married, having a child, a home, whatever you desire, whatever God has promised, ministry, a fruit in ministry, God will fulfill those promises. Even though you don't see it now, God will fulfill it. Amen? Amen? Blessedness through promises being fulfilled, right? That's the fourth point. And the fifth point is, and this is also beautiful, blessedness by being a blessing. And I was just thinking about you all today. And this is what, this was a offering thought which Pastor Randy spoke at the 9 o'clock service last Sunday in Baltimore. And he said that he saw a dream. He was in a crowd of people, some people he knew, most he didn't know. And they were all thanking him. And then he got up and then he realized that all the people who were thanking him were maybe those people who he had given a tract to or given some money to or whatever. And he used it as a principle that, you know, we really don't know where our work goes, where our giving goes. But someday in heaven, in eternity, people will come and thank us. And I was just thinking about our church today. The amount of tracts we have given, the amount of outreach we have done, mission work we have done, conversations we have had, acts of kindness you all have done, right? The amount of money you have given over the many years towards the building, I know that you will give towards the conference. The amount, whether it's a small amount or big amount, guess what? God has kept a track of it, right? And one day, he will reward you what? Openly. There will be many strangers in heaven who will come and thank you profusely. And you will say, Hari, I don't remember seeing you. No, but they will. They received a track, they received a phone call, they received a kind word, kindness. So, you know, blessedness by being a blessing. You know, today, God just doesn't bless us and says, okay, I'm going to bless you and your family. But he says, hey, you can be a blessing. Isn't that great? You have the gospel message. You know, when I think of the gospel message, I think about sometimes, you know, because I'm a music lover, sometimes there would be these shows in Bombay, these good shows, good music shows, and there would be an advertisement, and sometimes it would be a free show, but you had to collect the passes, right? So we would have friends, and the passes are limited, so we would have friends, we would get the pass, and sometimes you just get one pass, because the passes are in what? Short supply. Then you take the pass, you go for the show, you enjoy it, you come out. And I always associate the gospel to that. God has not given you one single pass. See, this is for you. Now keep quiet and be happy. He's given us unlimited passes. One for you, you are in. Now you can what? Speak the gospel to unlimited amount of people and all can go in and all can enjoy the concert in heaven. All can go in. Isn't that incredible? You shall be a what? A blessing. That is why we believe in missions. That is why we believe in sharing the gospel. That is why we believe in praying fervently for the lost. That is why we believe in acts of kindness. That is why we support missions. That is why we do missionary trips. That is why we are hosting all these missionaries. Why? You shall be a what? A blessing. Do you believe that you can be a blessing? You don't have to believe. You already are. You already are a blessing. The many years you'll have done outreach, prayed, given. What are we? We are a blessing unto people. And we are a blessing unto God. Right? Now to put all these 5 points. How does this happen? These 5 points. And this is going to really encourage you. How does this happen? Okay. We'll do a little exercise. Do we all have ears? So can you hold your... Yeah, everybody hold your... Come on. Just an exercise. We all have ears. Everybody can hear. My dad can hear. He's put on hearing aids today. Yeah, dad can hear today. Yeah. We all have ears. Okay. Do we all have eyes? Yes. Okay. Now let's go to Galatians chapter 3 and we'll close. Galatians 3, verse 2 to 5. Galatians 3, verse 2 to 5. This only I want to learn from you. Did you receive the Spirit by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? Paul is asking the Galatian church. Are you so foolish, having begun in the Spirit? Are you now being made perfect by the flesh? And verse 5. He who supplies the Spirit to you and works miracles among you, does he do it by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? Do we all have ears? Yes. This is a very profound passage. I've always thought about it. And I was thinking this. How does a person get saved? How do you get saved? Huh? Hearing of faith? Do you go to a bank and you make an account and you give some money and then do you get saved? No? Can you give endless amounts of money and get saved? Like Simon said in Acts 8, give me this, I'll give you money so that whoever I pray gets the Holy Spirit. Can you do it with money? No. How does it happen? Hearing of faith. So Romans 10 says, how will they believe if they have not heard on him? So they hear, then they believe. Because faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So, this is how it happened. At a point in time, in your life and in my life, somebody shared the gospel, whether directly or indirectly. We heard it. It produced faith in us. We made a choice to receive Jesus as our Savior. And guess what? You and I, we were saved forever. The Holy Spirit was put in us and as a seal forever. How? Through hearing. It doesn't stop there. Now Paul is saying, he's addressing legalism here. He's saying, are you so foolish? Having begun in the Spirit, are you now being made perfect by the flesh? And what he's trying to say is, when you get saved, it starts in grace. But at every successive point in the Christian walk, you know how it is? It is still by grace. And I was thinking about this thought. Have you ever thought that when you come to church, you and I are undeserving and God is wanting to speak to us something specific and give us a blessing on that day? That's incredible. Every time you hear the word, every time you read the word, God wants to give you something which you and I don't deserve. In fact, the first point, salvation itself, we didn't deserve it, but he gave it to us. And every time we hear the word, God wants to give us something which we don't deserve. That is incredible. That is incredible. What are we doing? Works of the law? No. We are just what? Listening. Listening. So this is the question we have to ask ourselves when we hear the word. And this is how you can put the Bible in context, is this. When God is speaking to me, what is he saying to me? We could say there are three things, mainly. Is it something I need to believe? Like positional truth is something I need to believe. The second thing is there something I need to correct? Like I'm thinking wrongly. Like suppose some person thinks, I have to do good to go to heaven. And the gospel comes and says, it's by grace through faith, not of works, lest any man should boast. Then the thinking which is wrong gets corrected. Or is it a decision I need to make? In Acts 2:37, when Peter preached, they were cut to the heart. So there was the word of God being preached, and they were cut to the heart. The Holy Spirit convicted them. And then the next verse says, what shall we do? What shall we do? They were brought to a point of decision. So is the word coming and bringing me to a point of decision? And Peter said, repent and believe, because they were the generation who crucified Christ. Therefore, it is repent and believe. And 3,000 got baptized the same day. Correct? So it is bringing me to a point of decision to do something. And that is where my free will comes to play. But what is most important is what? The hearing of faith. Right? So the question we can ask ourselves is, like what is conference all about? Is it about taking an off, coming together, singing songs, eating well, enjoying with one another? All that is fine. But what is the conference all about? The hearing of faith. You and I are going to come and we are going to hear something which God wants to give us, which we don't deserve, right? But he wants to bless us. And we simply come, we simply hear it, we simply have the right attitude in our wills, in our minds, and we receive the blessing, and that is what? Us. All through the what? To the hearing of the word. This is what I want to encourage you. I liked Pastor Benny's message. No matter how hard a situation you are in, or how impossible it feels to believe in God or to trust in him, I want to encourage you, you just come and you just what? Hear. And God has a promise or a verse or a thought for you to get you out of your situation and fill you with his joy. Isn't that incredible? That is, I have experienced it many times, and I'm sure that's what the Bible promises. You just come and what? Hear. You don't have to talk to anybody. You just come and hear, and God will speak to you. Because what we really need in our life is not things, is not prayers to be answered, and all those things are important, is not good health, as much as we need to hear the word of God. In closing today, right? Five points. Let's go through it. First point, blessedness through relationship. Second point, blessedness through position. Third point, blessedness through experience. Fourth point, blessedness through promises being fulfilled. And fifth point, blessedness by being a blessing, right? In every stage that God does these five points, from the time we begin our salvation and from the time we go home to be with the Lord or in the rapture, you know what? God is with us. God is our possession. God is not saying at this point, when you reach that point, I'll be with you. No, he's already with us. We don't see him, but he is in our hearts, right? At this point, we will see him face to face, but he is with us. And at every point, God is with us. And that is why we can what? We can worship the true and the living God. What else can we do? We can praise him for what he has done. We can thank him for all the good things he has done in our lives. And what else can we do? We can what? Pray. Prayer is such a beautiful privilege, right? So many prayers answered, and God will continue to answer and continue to pray at your home, in the church meeting, for the conference, for the people, right? Pray. We have seen God answer much. And what is the end? As we are progressing in this life, in Titus 2:13, we are looking for the blessed hope. And what is the blessed hope? The Lord's coming. Amen? And you know what? When the blessed hope happens, you know what will happen? This physical body which is deteriorating, glorified body. No pain, no sorrow, no remembrance of former things. Correct? And all the struggle on the earth is over. All the warfare is over. All the problems are over. Guess what? No husband and wife in heaven. No marriage problems in heaven. No fighting in heaven. We are all one. Every denomination. No fighting among denominations. All denominations are one. Because those who believe in the Lord are on the Lord's side. And we are the bride of Christ. And he is the bridegroom. And everything will be great. But till then, what do? We live by faith. So just to encourage you, don't give up. Won't give up coming to the church. Don't give up reading your Bible. Don't give up on praying. Don't give up in believing in God. Don't give up. You hang in there. What is it? You hang in there. When you drive with Pastor Chris, at some point I have to hold the handle. I have to just hang in there. Because I'm suspended between heaven and earth. You hang in there. You just hang in there. And God will come through. Right? No problem, no difficulty. Nothing you think in your life is greater than God. And God is able to fix it because God is a redemptive God. Do we believe that? And all this comes through the hearing of faith. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this morning. Thank you, Lord. Pray for miracles in our lives, Lord. Miracles of health. Miracles of reversals, reconciliations in our marriages, in our families. Reversals in our financial difficulties. Strained relationships, Lord. We pray for forgiveness. That you would join us together as one body, with one heart, with one accord, with one spirit, glorifying you. Thank you for all the blessings, Father. Thank you for bringing us to this point in our lives. You are a great God, and we worship you. Happy are the people whose God is the Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.